Now, we had read a couple days ago the anointing at Bethany when Mary had anointed Jesus. Now, contrast these two. The church fathers, in seminary, we study the church fathers. It's interesting because it seems if they are Christians are not Catholic, for them, the church didn't start till after the year 1500. They seem to forget everything about the church prior to the year 1500. But the church fathers give us a valuable insight. They basically tell us, contrast the anointing of Christ at Bethany now with the payoff of Judas. Look at what's going on here. All right. One is an insignificant woman, Mary. The other is a well-known companion of Jesus. Okay, interesting. So Mary lavishes this entire jar of expensive oil on Jesus. We just read about a couple days ago. But Judas turns his back on him, right? Mary, the insignificant woman, sought only to give. Judas sought an opportunity to gain 30 pieces of silver. Why is that significant? It's because a slave costs 30 pieces of silver. That's said in Exodus 21:32. And then in Zechariah chapter 11, it said they paid the shepherd only 30 pieces of silver for the lamb, and it was an insult. Interesting. Basically, Jesus is the lamb, is only worth 30 pieces of silver. And so we see this when the other disciples call Jesus Lord. Did you ever catch that? All the other disciples called Jesus Lord, but Judas calls him only Rabbi. He says, surely it is not I, Rabbi. But notice all the others. Lord, where do you want us to celebrate the meal? See, these are little things that we might not catch. To call someone Lord implies a submission to their authority, yet to address someone as Rabbi doesn't. It's noncommittal. It admits that a man is a good teacher, but it does not necessarily mean that you're willing to follow him, to be a disciple, to truly follow him. So Judas was very subtle in his pride, like us. We can be very subtle in our pride, like passive aggressiveness or the silent treatment that we might give someone because we're upset. So we often think of Judas, when we hear his name, as so much worse than all the other disciples and always being this evil man. No, not quite. If that were true, everyone would have suspected Judas right off the bat when Jesus said, somebody will betray me. They were guessing, who's it gonna be? We don't even know. And so when Jesus said, one will betray me, if Judas had appeared so evil, they would have all guessed it. But instead it was subtle. It was a subtle pride. And that's the case with so many of us. And so, they would have thought, it's gotta be Judas. He's the one, he's a very bad man. I don't know why Jesus picked him. We do this all the time. We try to label somebody from the very beginning. Instead, Judas did not stand out as any worse than the others. And it's because Judas changed little by little, just a little tiny bit without much notice. I've always told the story. I don't even know if it's true. I would never want to try it. But the frog in the pot, they say if you boil water and then put the frog in, he's going to jump out. But if you put him in room temperature water and slowly turn up the heat, he won't jump out. He'll just boil. I don't know if it's true. I don't want to know that, but I love animals. But I don't know a better example of something gradual can slip by us, right? And so for each one of us, we can become a Judas little by little. We don't even realize it. First, by giving up little things that are discipline, like, our duties. Sometimes we get lax little by little. Then we stop praying little by little. We used to pray a lot every day, then it's some each day, then it's some every other day. Pretty soon it'll be none. It's the same with going to Mass. When I was a child, I went to Mass every day. I never missed Mass. We even went to daily Mass. Then all of a sudden, as I became a teenager, we didn't go to Mass but on Sundays. And then after that, as I went into college, I didn't go to Mass at all. It's that gradual little thing. And so these little things will lead to bigger falls. Trust me. You gotta watch out. This is, you know, the Bible tells us the one who is trustworthy in small matters will be trustworthy in great matters. That's a perfect example. I always point this out too. Thomas Aquinas, the bedrock of our faith, St. Thomas Aquinas, talks about a habitus. And it was funny because I got a new habit yesterday, the white habit. And so it came and it had a plastic coating over it, and it's called a habit, but on it in Latin it said habitus, and so H-A-B-I-T-U-S. Well, Thomas Aquinas talks about a habitus is every choice we make for virtue or vice. So this is where we get the word habit. What becomes your habit? So for religious wearing the habit, it's got to become a choice every day to live a life of virtue. Now, it's funny because the little things do matter. What did Thomas Aquinas teach us? He taught us, watch the little things, even the thoughts. You don't even seem to think that thoughts are dangerous. Well, I didn't act on it. I hear that a lot in the confessional. And then there's some truth to that. You know, Father, I had these thoughts that the Lord may not be happy with, but I didn't act on it. Well, yes, the thoughts themselves are not sinful, but if we invoke them or entertain them, then they can become dangerous. Why? Okay, Aquinas said, watch your thoughts, because thoughts turn to words. And watch your words, because words turn to action. Actions. Now watch your actions, because your actions turn into habits. And watch your habits, because habits will determine your character. And watch your character, because your character will determine where you spend eternity. And so it's a powerful thing. He used to say there's a spectrum, and you're born in the middle, and every decision you make to the good grows your character in virtue, and every decision you make for the vice, the bad, grows your character to vice. And so be careful. And so to finish, Origen said Judas, and I thought this was very interesting, Judas was willing to take money in exchange for handing over the Son of God. How horrible. None of us would ever do that, right? None of us would ever. How could Judas do this? Well, he said, we do the same whenever we accept sensual or worldly goods in exchange for handing over and casting God out of our soul. That's what a state of grace means. God is in your soul. When you choose grave sin willfully, you are sacrificing, you are betraying God, and you are turning him over because you want the payment of sensual pleasure or worldly goods, and in exchange, you're going to hand over God by casting him out of your soul. So in a way, we do this, and it's a wake-up call, because Jesus told St. Faustina the only way he leaves a soul is when it is in mortal sin. So be in a state of grace, especially this week as we're coming up to Divine Mercy Sunday, because you want to receive Holy Communion, especially on Easter and Divine Mercy Sunday. Now, we betray God, we betray Jesus by committing sin for the sake of money, pleasure, or power. Sex, money, and power. And so these are really just one of any selfish motives. And so it is like we call out the powers of darkness who offer worldly gain in return for the sin of betraying God's word. You know, musicians and actors, there's stories all over Hollywood about this. Now, I'm not in Hollywood, so I have no idea. But if you believe half of what you hear, these people who rise to stardom or these singers who weren't that good and nobody knew about them, and all of a sudden they become world famous, there's all these stories that, you know, they basically gave up everything, including their souls, for the fame and fortune and the riches of the world. And this is dangerous. So when in the scripture passage, what will you give me if I hand them over to you? Judas asks, right? Basically, he received 30 pieces of silver, and that's all you're going to get. And you're going to trade that for eternity. Don't trade God for worldly desires. This is the message. And so what was it that Judas wanted? Why did Judas do this? What was it that he wanted? Judas wanted to be important. Really? Yes. He may have wanted an important position in Jesus' government, which he thought was coming. But when he saw that Jesus did not intend to make himself a king or to overthrow Rome, Judas turned on him. He saw nothing in it for himself. Well, this Jesus guy, he's not going to be anybody important. He's just turning his back, turning the other cheek. And so he saw nothing in it for himself, and he didn't see Jesus as a king. Well, he missed that boat. He saw that following Jesus would not be profitable, so he figured he ought to at least gain something out of it. So he took 30 pieces of silver. You know what this is like? This is like Esau. Remember that story? Esau, where he traded his birthright? You know, Judas abandoned his spiritual birthright for better material conditions, just like Esau did. Just like Esau. And so in saving his own life, Judas lost it for all eternity. And that's the message. Judas represents all those who follow Jesus only for what they can get from him and not from how they can serve him. And so many decide that the cost of serving him isn't worth it. Remember the rich man when Jesus said, "Follow me," and the rich man said, "I have all these possessions and all these goods," and Jesus said, "Sell them, give to the poor, and follow me." What did it say? He went away sad because he had many possessions, this rich man. And so let us not fall into that. Let us not trade the beautiful richness of eternity for the temporary, fleeting pleasures of this world. The sex, money, and power, the gods of the world, and you've heard me say many times why we take the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And so you don't have to be a religious or a priest or a monk or a nun to live that spirit. And today, still being in Lent, is an example of why we live that spirit, a spirit of stripping ourselves like the 10th station on the stations of the cross so that we can put on the new man. And I think this is a good passage of scripture that helps us to understand that.
Hello, I'm Father Thaddeus Langton of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception, and I'm excited to let you know about my new podcast with Father Timothy Childers called Keeping It Marian. To access the podcast, simply visit divinemercyplus.org or search Keepin' It Marian on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, or on whatever podcast platform you prefer. I want to share with you the riches of the charism of the Marian Fathers, which is the mystery of the Immaculate Conception, how it touches our lives as consecrated priests and religious, and how this mystery can bear fruit in your life, especially by keeping the Word of God and pondering it in our hearts in imitation of our Blessed Mother. I hope you'll join us. Again, it's called Keeping It Marian. Thank you, and God bless you.
Please follow or subscribe to this podcast to receive the latest episodes and updates. If you have been blessed by this podcast, I invite you to leave a review. Reviews greatly improve our podcast ranking and will help spread this podcast to other people throughout the world. Are you enjoying this podcast? I invite you to listen to more shows brought to you by the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Join us daily for enriching spiritual content, which will help you on your journey with Jesus Christ. Simply visit DivineMercyPlus.org for a complete list of our shows. That's DivineMercyPlus.org. Are you a Marian helper? Join our Spiritual Benefit Society and start sharing in the graces of all the daily masses, prayers, and good works of Marian priests and brothers all over the world. Sign up is free and easy. Simply visit micprayers.org. That's micprayers.org. Thank you, and God bless you.